Arthur, welcome to Death Radio.
Right on, it's my pleasure, Kit.
Cool. Can you introduce yourself? You're from Brazil and you're directing an awesome footage on Kiyotaka Surisaki.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let me introduce myself. Arthur Gagliatti. I'm from São Paulo, Brazil, aka Terra Brasilis, the largest country in South America. And I am the owner and only member of Carnificine, an extreme cinema label based in São Paulo. And I'm actually the sole owner of the copyrights for Orozco the Embalmer in Brazil.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
I see. Oh, do you produce other movies than Orozco from your label?
Yeah, I have some in the barrel. I wish I could talk about it, but it's kind of top secret right now. But you'll like it.
Mm, that's cool. You asked me to join your documentary film.
Exactly. The Viva Folito documentary. It's basically a celebration of Surisaki Kiyotaka, but Froilan Orozco.
I haven't seen the complete film yet, so I'm very excited to see it. When is it going to be available?
Well, I don't have a deadline yet, but I think September or October, that should be ready.
This year?
I'm going to make it like a limited run of VHS tapes, and I'm planning on a double disc feature on the Orozco Brazilian release. But I don't have a right deadline.
Yeah, you're doing this whole thing by yourself. So you decide everything. You're the boss.
That's good and bad at the same time.
Yeah, I understand that.
There are some people I'm trying to reach, you know, seem so unreachable. But I'm trying my best, man. I really am. And I hope you guys like it.
That's a lot of work, so I respect your work very much.
Thank you. I respect you as well.
Yeah, we both have really deep interest in death and violence, so that's why we hit it off right away ended up recording this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the morbid curiosity that brought us together.
Yes, exactly. Which is very cool because like I never had a guest from Brazil. So,
right, that's an honor, man.
Really cool. Yes. I have questions. How did you find out about Surisaki Kiyotaka?
Oh, it was, you know, finding out in forums, online, all those gore sites, you know. Mm-hmm. At first, when I saw Orozco, I didn't saw the context. I only saw, you know, separate scenes. So you get to see all that gore, all that blood. But then I got to see the whole movie and I was enamored by the context, by by Colombia. Because Colombia is a neighbor country to mine. So I relate so well to that. Not the violence itself, but the way they portray themselves, the way they speak. Well, I speak Portuguese, but I can understand Spanish, you know? It's a sister language. It's really cool. I think it's a South American history right there. I think that's what Surisaki Kiyotaka did. It's registering someone who needed to have his story told. So I think it's a very film.
Oh, I see. So even in Colombia, they don't really make films about people like Orozco or like films about...
No, it's a very tame as part of America. It's a very shy, it's a very repressed in a way. It doesn't seem like it, but it is repressed.
Oh, so nobody is going on and filming and making documentaries?
Not the way Mr. Surisaki does, but there are, you know, some courageous filmmakers that do cool stuff, you know, violent stuff, but it is very repressed nation. Yeah, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I hope so.
Yeah, I see. So this is even interesting that in Japan, it's even more repressed, I think. Like, the death is concealed. It's like taboo. And I can probably say that Japan is not a very violent country. Like, we don't see many violence in everyday life. But Kiyotaka is from Japan, and it's very interesting that he decided to fly to Colombia. And well, he's been to everywhere, like Russia and other countries too, and especially targeting on death and violence.
I always had this vision of Japan as a very, that's something as a South American, I gotta say, man, I really like Japan. Is, I know that could be a little unproductive in a way, being so organized, so on point. That could be a little intimidating for, you know, young people to, you know, get good grades and get good careers. And I understand, like you said before, Japan has a high suicide ratio, right?
Yeah.
And that thing that you said about Japanese people wanting to be euthanized, that just blew my mind, man.
It's not common in Brazil? Do teenagers...
Yeah, it is. But I think Japan got the reputation. I think the other countries just got as bad. But Japan somehow, because you guys are so organized and so on point with everything. Mm. I think you guys like, oh man, they do that. So you, unfortunately, Japan got the reputation, but I think every country has as bad. Norway, man, for God's sake, Norway, the country of peace. There's a lot of suicide there.
I used to live in Sweden like 2 years. So there, like Sweden, Norway, those Nordic countries, they are like dark all the time during winter. They don't get sunlight. So I think that's one of the reasons, because it felt really depressing during...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get vitamin D, right? You don't get the sunlight. Yeah, I don't like to go outside the sun because I'm too white, man. I'm Brazilian, but I'm too white. I get bacon in 10 minutes. But I understand, man, it seems depressing, you know?
Yes, and the weather is very cold. But in Brazil, it's...
No, in Brazil, it's...
cold?
Well, it's like a little cold one day or two, but then it's... Oh, feels like hell. Man, especially in São Paulo, where I live, it's a lot of cities, a lot of buildings, a lot of favelas, a lot of slums. You know, all that heat somehow translates... You feel it in your bones, man. I don't recommend, but I can't say I would like the Sweden or Norway, because I never seen snow, man. You know, I don't know what.
You've never seen snow.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Just in movies.
Wow, just in movies.
Exactly. It snows a little bit in the south. Brazil gets a little bit more cold, but. It's rare. It's
so even you climb up the mountains, do you have mountains or more like jungles?
Yeah, there's Amazon. Not exactly mountains in Brazil. There are hills. You get chilly, but no snow, unfortunately. I always wanted to see snow.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a really humble dream, right?
Yeah, it's a weird dream. I mean, in Japan, I guess we can say that we're blessed that we have four seasons, like really distinct. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Like we get all the different seasons.
Yeah, in the winter there, it's a little bit rough, I heard.
Yeah,
especially
it's in snow.
Hokkaido, right?
Hokkaido?
I heard that Hokkaido is really freaking cold, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Hokkaido?
Yes, I have. I just visited Hokkaido for fun with my family. But it was during summer, so I didn't get to see the severe cold winter.
Yeah, that black metal cold. Man, right?
Yeah, Norwegian black metal.
Norwegian cold. Under the funeral moon. So we were talking about killers from Brazil, right?
Yes, I'm really interested in true crime, to be honest.
Look man, I brought you four, in my humble opinion, most iconic criminals in Brazil.
Yeah.
They don't have the high body count as Pedrinho Matador, but they were just infamous. So, I think there are two main criminals in Brazilian history that take the cake. This one I'm going to talk about, he only has four kills.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very humble number, mm-hmm. but he was the red light bandit or Bandido da Luz Vermelha. His name was João Acácio Pereira. He was something to understand about Brazilian killers, Brazilian criminals. Their motivations are always either money or sexual impulses.
Mm.
These red light bandits actually had both. So he started robbing and he used a red flashlight to intimidate, you know, to strike. He used a little piece of cloth in his mouth. You know, he looks intimidating.
Mm. So, he looks like a gang member.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like a gunslinger, but he used that, you know, red light, and he absolutely terrorized, you know, São Paulo for nearly 6 years, man.
Whoa, and 6 years he didn't get caught, but he kept on killing four people.
Exactly. But, you know, he only confessed to four kills, but he was a rapist. He raped his man. That's a very unfortunate number. He has more than 100 rapes, man. That's horrible.
That's horrible.
And you know, he was raped when he was a kid, so that might have screwed him up.
He had an unfortunate childhood.
Yeah. You know, people like to say, oh man, these guys, they had it so bad when they were kids. But, you know, man, in my opinion, a lot of people have just as bad as, you know, as they have, and still.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with what you say.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of people with unfortunate childhood, they don't grow up as killers.
They overcome.
Mm.
It might take them a little bit of time, but they will overcome it and become, you know, great, great people.
Yeah.
This guy, he was very flamboyant. He used the money that he robbed, and he used to pick up women at bars. He used to go to prostitutes in brothels. He was a really bohemian guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what didn't helped his reputation is that 1 year after he was caught in 1967, there was a hit movie in 1968. Everybody loved that film. It was called The Red Light Bandit. And you know what's funny? He was in prison. Back up a little. In prison. He spent 3 decades in prison because that's the maximum sentence in Brazil. It's 30 years.
Oh, really? Kinds of crime?
So here's the thing. He actually was sentenced to more than 300 years.
Oh, yeah, like in America.
You know, such an off-the-wall number. But yes. Brazilian constitution, you do 30 years, you can be released. But he was tortured for 3 decades in prison. The guys in there, they didn't like him.
Okay.
So when he was released in 1997, he was absolutely incoherent. He used to shake, and he used to give autographs. That's kind of funny because people, you know, used to approach him. Oh, man, you're the red light bandit. Can I get an autograph? And he would just like write autograph on things. He was a very crazy dude.
Yeah.
And he was killed in 1998 after a fight at a bar. He got shot.
Oh, he was killed. Oh.
Got shot in the face with a shotgun. So
by just like a hater of him?
Yeah, the dude said he didn't recognize him at first, but I highly doubt that, man. I highly doubt.
So he is famous. He was known by many people.
Yes, he was. People knew who he was. He was so off the wall. He was so crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy. People knew who he was.
Oh, yeah. I see.
You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, man.
Mm-mm, that's true. But getting shot in the face at the bar, like the public place, that never happens in Japan. So you said it like, yeah, it just happened like that. Yeah, that also is like a huge crime.
Exactly. But I bet you $5 the judges and the police officers were like, yes, we got that motherfucker. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
There is another dude that I think is as iconic as the Red Light Bandit.
Yes.
I had 6 kills.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, but you know, compared to Pedrinho Matador, who had like 71 kills.
Next level.
Yeah. So this guy is called Febrônio Índio do Brasil, or simply Febrônio. Even his name reminds me of Febre, which means fever. Yeah.
Febrônio.
It's a really ugly name. Really ugly. And he started the life of crime in 1916. It's way, way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a con man. He disguised himself as a dentist. He was a fucking sadist. He disguised himself as police officers. He was, of course, a sexual deviant.
Yeah. You know,
he had delusions with mystical forces, and he coined himself as the Prince of Fire. He was nuts, man. And, you know, he was absolutely crazy. That guy was absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually sent to an asylum because he stole a human skull.
Yeah.
And you know, he was cooking it. Just like, you know, you're cooking a supper. And you know, was sent to the asylum. And at that time, man, they just said he has mental issues. Leave him be. Parents at that time, because he stayed in the asylum from 1929 to 1984, he died an old man, 89 years. He tried to escape once in a while, but you know, that's the guy's crazy. At the time, he was part of the popular culture in Brazil. There's a lot of carnival songs. Febrônio, I don't remember the lyrics, man, but you know, it's a classic music
song about him.
Exactly.
What?
Brazil is a little twisted, man, you know.
Yeah, what? So like children and old ladies, they sing this song like happily, or what?
Yeah, like it's called a Marcha de Carnaval. It's like a carnival's march, you know. It's like a beat song about Febrônio, he's gonna catch you. You know, it's crazy notion, man. And parents, they used when children were misbehaving.
Yeah.
Febrônio as the boogeyman. You better do, your homework, young man.
Right.
Or else Febrônio is gonna get you. So. Exactly.
I think these guys
are the quintessential criminals in Brazil. But man, it's a long list, man.
So he kind of became like a legend because he's from the old time.
Yeah,
like right after his crimes, people were against him. But now the time has passed and like he's like...
Yeah, he's just a legend. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's absolutely correct. A legend. You know what's crazy? His sentence at the time actually served as a template for scientific facts can argument with the law, you know, starting the insanity plea in Brazil.
So
his case was actually very important to distinguish just criminals or just crazy guys, you know. Man, all these guys, man, they all had crazy sexual impulses. It's kind of nuts, man.
Yeah, but there's a lot of men, raping women, and if that doesn't go well, they just end up killing them.
Yes, exactly. That leads me to the third guy that I'm gonna tell. This guy I remember because at the time I was like 6 years old. It was 1997 to 1998. I remember that guy. This guy, he was the park maniac. His name was Francisco de Assis Pereira. He had 7 kills.
Mm.
So this guy was absolutely fixated on sex. As a kid, he was, you know, a victim of various sexual abuses, including his own aunt, man, which made him develop this fixation on female breasts. And he was, you know, he was terrified of losing his penis. You know, he was a con man. He used to lurk around parks. He worked as a delivery guy, you know, in a motorcycle. He used to say he was a talent seeker, you know, looking for models. He had a way of speaking to women that I don't know, because the guy is ugly as hell, man.
Really?
Shit, man. He's super ugly.
Okay, and but he tricked girls like, I have a contact with a modeling agency and I can take pictures and stuff like that.
He always proceeded to talk like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm a big shot. We gotta take some pictures here in the park. It's so exotic. So he lured these poor women to take
the
park, and then he proceeded to strangle them. And he used to leave the bodies in the grass. It was horrible. And you know what's even crazier? You're not going to believe this.
Why?
He was in prison. He had a massive female fan base. Women.
Well, but you said he was ugly.
Yeah.
Like usually like Ted Bundy and Ramirez.
Yeah, usually the guy has have to be cute, have to be a little hunky guy. But this guy was super ugly. And still he got at least 1,000 letters, you know, love letters saying, oh, I love you. I don't know, man. You know, crazy talk. Crazy talk.
Yeah. But he later was released from the prison.
He is set to be released in 2028. I highly, highly doubt that he will be released because of evaluations. He doesn't show remorse. He doesn't show that he's sorry for it.
Okay.
As a rapist, he's always a target in Brazilian prisons because pedophiles and rapists are the first. We got to kill those guys, man.
Yes, in prison, right? So all the like prison inmates, they bully, especially if you're a rapist or sexual criminal. And, wow, that's true. Then.
Yeah, especially pedophiles. You know, pedophiles have to be in a in another unit. They don't get to be in general population because they will get killed. And
because of that?
Yes.
They're divided.
Yeah, and they will, you know, they will kill you if they are in a good mood, but they will actually carve your heart out, they will cut your head and play football with your head.
Oh, my God.
Big statement. Yeah, it's a jungle, man. Brazilian prisons are essentially hell. If you are...
Wow, you don't want to go there. No way.
You'll get lost, you will die, essentially.
Shit. What? But what happens if you kill someone in prison? Do you get heavier sentence for that?
Yeah. You get. It's like a normal. In that regard, Brazilian sentencing is kind of to the point. But you know, it's a jungle. The guards, they have to watch their backs. They're really understaffed.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. I mean, what kind of tough men get to be guards? It must be a tough job, you know.
Man,
what kind of people want to work as guards?
Right.
In prison. Yeah.
Yeah, they gotta be, you know, it's a very honorable job. It's a very, not a lot of people want to do it. But I think you have to have some certain degree of, I don't mind if I die mentality.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
It's,
so much respect, then.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Of course, there are crooks. Of course, there are those who facilitate the inmates. But there are a lot of good, honest guards. But you gotta be crazy, man. That's the word.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can't imagine if there are female guards too.
They are female.
They need them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's something very curious about these installations like penitentiaries, prisons, is that there are some, for the inmates, there are men. There are something of a woman is in charge that kind of reminds them of their own mother.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of really twisted sense of mothership for these guys. Not everybody, of course. But I think and that leads me to the last guy who I think it's not really known. This guy, I don't know how he is alive, is Marcelo Costa de Andrade. He has 8 kills. He used to, you know, operate in Rio de Janeiro, which, man, as a guy from São Paulo, I always say, man, you know, São Paulo sometimes is bad, but thank God we're not in Rio.
Oh, really?
Yes, Rio de Janeiro is out of control. There's beautiful
places. It's like the very famous and popular traveling destination. You've got the festival, but is it only like festival season or it's always popular destination?
You know, Rio de Janeiro is like, it's good if you have a lot of money.
Because
they, in the great, you know, Copacabana hotels, the places. But if you're like a run-of-the-mill, you know, regular dude, you're going to see some difficulties. So this guy was known as Niterói, just to be clear. Niterói is a place in Rio de Janeiro. It was known as O Vampiro de Niterói, which means Niterói's vampire.
Vampire.
Of course, as the guys before, he was sexually abused as a kid. He was bullied heavily in school. He dropped out and he started to prostitute himself at age 14.
What?
Yeah, he was.
To older women or to men?
To men.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he was in and out of evangelical churches and he just couldn't resist his sexual urges. You know, the story of this guy kind of remembers me of Jeffrey Dahmer, but this guy actually just aimed at kids. It was a Oh, yeah. And the worst is yet to come, man. You know, he was a pathological liar. He used children, you know, luring them, promising food and money. So he could rape.
Poor kids.
He would rape and he would decapitate their heads and drink their blood during sexual intercourse. How crazy is that?
What? What order? Like decapitate, kill first before raping them?
You know, while he was, you know, raping the poor kid, he was, you know, doing his best to, you know, the kid at that point was already dead. So he, you know, tried his best to cut their heads while, you know, having...
While sex?
Yeah, sexual intercourse, man. So...
Shit!
Exactly. Shit is right, man.
That's sick.
And one of the victims, brothers, they were brothers, one didn't make it. One got to escape. He alerted the authorities, and when he was caught, he just, I did it. Yeah, so what? What are you going to do? You know, he wasn't shocked. He wasn't surprised. He wasn't remorsed.
He was arrogant.
So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's so brutal. He's raping a kid and beheads his head and drinking blood out of the headless body.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, he's doing this incredibly sacrilegious, incredibly, you know, demonic thing. When he was caught, he was like, yeah, whatever, you know.
And, what's wrong with him?
And he said that he drank their blood because he wanted to be pure as a child.
What?
It's bullshit. You know, he just wanted to have a certain legacy for him. But yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah.
And he will die in prison because, you know, 30 years just passed and he's staying there because you know, medical evaluations again shows that he's completely unchanged. He's just a bad seed from the start, from the get-go.
Oh, I see. Wow. I mean, he must be hated in the prison too, because he
if inmate, you know, if inmates get a hold of him, he's toast, man. He's
if only they get a chance, they'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. Ah. So they have to maintain him in a special unit. I don't know the details, but that guy will die in prison. And I don't know, man. People say, oh, man, he should die already. But that's too easy, man. You know?
Oh.
Too easy.
Yeah. So you don't have death sentences in Brazil?
No.
I mean, we do. In Japan, like, we have death sentences, and majority of people think it's right to have death sentence. Like, we are like, go for it. Like, yeah. And less people are against it because they think, like, Brazil or other countries don't have death sentences, are more sophisticated. And yeah, that's more humane and that's better that way. But majority of us think, we gotta kill them.
Mm. Yeah, they should die. They know. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with it. I agree. There are some people that should just, you know, get this over with. Just kill that motherfucker. But sometimes I think that killing the guy is too easy, man. That's really the way to go.
I think
suffer a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So being in a prison, secluded because there are pedophiles, they still have shitty life there?
Oh, absolutely. they suffer, man. But when you are hardwired to do bad stuff like that, man, I don't think the guy even knows he's in prison. His head is just in another place.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Crazy. Mm.
Yeah, some people just can't feel like normal, healthy people do.
Exactly. They are not human. They are just a shell of
monsters.
A person. Monsters. Mm. That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most notorious criminals in Brazil. That's my opinion.
Anthony. Thank you so much for telling us.
Well, there are a lot of other criminals, a lot of other crimes too. But if you like, we could talk about it in a later occasion, man.
Yeah, let's have it again.
Cool. Let's do it.
Well, thank you so much. That was very informative, really. Absolutely. Cool to get to hear that from someone from Brazil. So
my pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And let's promote your video again.
All right.
And you have an Instagram account too, so.
Well, my Instagram is at Carnificini Official. The Viva Frolito documentary should be out in September or October. I don't have a real deadline, but I really would like to have this documentary out this year still.
Yeah. And then everything is going to be in English?
Yeah, I was considering it, but I think I'm going to narrate it in Portuguese, man. I think it's a South American piece. So, but I'll put English subtitles. A lot of people are talking in English. Well, you are talking in English in it. Yeah. So, don't worry. It's going to be very international. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I'm so honored to be a part of this.
I'm the one who's honored, Kat.
I'm very thankful. Can't wait.
Right on. I'm doing my best. I hope the fans like it. I hope Mr. Tsurusaki Kiyotaka likes it. I have a Japanese fella that I gotta thank. His name is Hiroshi Egi. He's from Video Violence Releasing.
I know him.
Yeah, you know him?
I haven't met him yet, but I have talked to him online. He's been on this Death Radio. Yeah.
Oh, he's been on Death Radio. That's
awesome. What a small world, right?
Right.
Tsurusaki Kiyotaka has been on this radio too. Yeah, we're all like underground friends.
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
Yeah.
And I wish I could speak Japanese so I could, you know, listen to it. It's a beautiful language, but goddamn, is it hard, man.
Yeah, it's different.
super hard, man.
But I'm glad I learned English, but I studied English just to listen and understand true crime. So this is like the purpose of.
And well, the only thing I can say to you, I can say it in Japanese, pardon if I butcher the language, but domo arigato gozaimasu.
Oh, you said it perfectly.
Ah, thank you. No, thank you. Arigato, domo arigato gozaimasu.
You sound like Japanese, really. I think the pronunciation is pretty close. Like English is different, but Spanish, Japanese, similar, no?
You know, the hard T's, you know, arigato, the ta, I think it's a little bit easier to, you know, hit those.
Oh, obrigada, Portuguese?
Obrigada, that's perfect.
Portuguese?
Portuguese, yes, obrigado. Well, obrigado você, Kat. Thank you very much. Arigato gozaimasu.
Arigato gozaimasu. And we'll talk to each other soon again.
I hope so.
Yeah. Thank really you so much. Good night.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll do that. Bye-bye.